You're listening to Narrow Mind. Today is Saturday, the 29th of November, 2008. This is show number 945. We're going to be interviewing atheist Josh Singer and Cy from ProofThatGodExists.org.
Coming to you live from our studios in Southern California, Real Christianity in the Real World, The Narrow Mind.
I hope you've learned something tonight, because you've got a lot of learning to do.
I've learned once again that the atheist can't account for morality. That's what I've learned.
Oh, are you kidding?
Do you sin as a Christian?
Please know that there are different degrees of sin. Worry
is a
sin. I do
You're
worry.
A Roman Catholic.
I'm answering your question. I'm answering.
Okay, so obviously you didn't get all the Roman Catholicism out of your system when you claimed to have been born again.
And now our host, Gene Cook Jr.
Welcome, everyone, once again to another edition of The Narrow Mind. My name is Gene Cook, in case you're tuning in for the first time. And today we've got quite a show planned for you. We're going to have two guests on the phone lines today, and they're going to be talking to each other and talking to myself and my co-host, Jonathan. By the way, Jonathan, how are you this evening?
Doing good.
All right. We've also got a special time for this broadcast, in case you're wondering how you missed it. Maybe you tuned into the website at 9 a.m. this morning and it wasn't playing. That's because we try to accommodate our guest's schedule. And I'm going to be introducing him to you in just a moment. So we're broadcasting live at 7 p.m. on the West Coast on this Saturday evening. And we're looking forward to talking to both of our guests. Amazing how fast the year's going. We're almost in December.
I know.
And we've got a live audience here at the Narrow Mind Studios.
That's right. We do. Yes.
Would you like to maybe let our listeners know who we have listening?
Martin.
Martin.
Oh, and... which one do I say first? I'm stuck. I'm in a dilemma again. Pastor Stephen Goundry, who happens to be my father.
Your father's visiting from Florida.
Florida. And
is there someone else?
And there's somebody else, yes. Put it this way, let me preface it this way. I'm as excited as a person who's got a very good reason to be excited, because it's my very, very dear girlfriend.
Girlfriend.
Yeah, I've actually said it. It's out there. Okay, guys.
I have longed for the day that Jonathan would utter those words. Actually, that's one word.
Yeah.
Girlfriend.
It only took me like 10 years.
You know, and I didn't know if you were going to actually call her your girlfriend, because, you know, our emails indicate. I mean, we've had women sending their pictures in, and they knew that you were single. And so this must be pretty serious for you to announce in front of the massive audience
yes.
that we have, the millions of listeners,
yes,
that you are no longer available.
Unfortunately, from now on, the emails have to be strictly theological. I answer theological questions.
And if they're not, send them to me. And I will pass them on to the other single men that we have in our church.
There we go.
So,
charity. It's Pastor Gene's charity.
That's right. That's the least I can do.
Yes.
All right. So let's get down to business. We have a couple of guests, as I mentioned before, on the phone lines today. I'm going to introduce to you first Josh Singer, who is an atheist. Josh, welcome to the program.
Hi. Well, thank you, Jonathan and Gene, for having me on a special accommodation. Sorry for anybody who missed it this morning.
Well, that's all right. They can always catch up through the podcast. So that's the good thing about internet radio.
Yeah.
And I also have, hopefully, Cy from Canada. Cy.
I'm here.
The owner of Proof That God Exists.
Hey, Gene, you know I'm single too, eh? Maybe you can set me up. Send those emails my way.
Well, I'm not sure if I can vouch for your character, Cy.
We've met.
Yeah. Briefly.
You know, yeah. I want you to know that doing this on a Saturday night is almost sacrilege up in Canada. You know, it's hockey night in Canada up here.
Oh, so this is true sacrifice. So
yes, it is indeed.
We're accommodating ourselves to the guest here.
Right. For Josh.
Yeah.
Oh, hello, Josh, and Gene and Jonathan, officially.
All right, so Josh actually came by and viewed my videos. Many of you know that I have some videos online entitled Atheism Defeated. There's three parts there, and it's derived from a presentation that I gave in the Seattle area. And Josh was kind enough to come by and not only view the videos, but post his comments. And so I'm going to read one of the comments that prompted me to invite Josh to be a guest on the show. Josh wrote this comment. Morals from the Bible? So do you follow them blindly or conditionally? If blindly, please be my guest. You have my pat on the back. If conditionally, why do atheists need a basis to be moral if they can reason much like you do, considering what results are, what makes people happy, and what is proven historically to be good? Uniformity of nature, the universe, or nature has lots of consistencies, but also lots of mysteries. Next paragraph. I don't think you believe that the universe is predetermined, fatalist, but you don't believe that there are no laws in nature at all either. Obviously, to anybody, atheist or theist, the universe is neither completely ordered nor completely unordered. It's something in between. Concepts? Anybody has concepts. Atheists are no different. They have different ones and for different reasons, and they don't disagree with concepts. Human dignity? Atheists are very much for human dignity, hence the term humanism. It's theists who want to degrade human dignity by dignifying an imaginary god and bow down to invisible hocus-pocus. That's not signifying human dignity. Oh, don't like this straw man? Well, I'm up for a live discussion if you like. Think for a minute. What else, other than human dignity, do we think about when talking about social contracts, considerations of others, uniqueness compared to animals? And don't be stupid enough to think that atheists believe humans are no different than animals. End quote. So that was the comment that Josh was kind enough to leave on our YouTube video. Josh,
yeah.
You remember writing that?
Yes, actually. Not word for word, but yeah.
It's all coming back to
right.
Now.
Yeah, how long ago did you write that, do you recall?
Not more than a week ago, I believe.
Right, that's interesting. Right, because this, I believe it's from the YouTube video, the three-part series that you uploaded. How long ago now?
Over a year ago.
Yeah, so...
You probably noticed we had several thousand downloads. I don't know what it's up to now.
Yeah.
So, I invited Josh. I read this comment, and we've had a lot of comments on those videos, as you'll find out if you go check them out. And I invited Josh to come on the show. Excuse me. And he said, I would not only like to come on the show and talk to you, but I would also like to talk to your friend Cy, who is the owner of ProofThatGodExists.org. And so my first question of the evening is, how did Cy get drawn into this, Josh? Did you know Cy? Or
no. Well, I believe about a year ago, I was listening to a podcast called Freak Forum, and Cy's website was brought up on that website, and I basically sent a few emails challenging Cy. And what I realized is that Cy's responses are pretty much very, how do I say it? I mean, he's very proud to say, like your show's named, A Narrow Mind. He says that he's very proud that he does not have an open mind to even consider that he can be wrong. So with that kind of narrow mind, usually that doesn't further any discussion. So
okay.
I thought, well, now that you know him and I have a chance to talk, maybe I'll bring him up and see if he's changed any or if there's any productive discussion here.
Okay, could you do me a small favor? Could you define what you mean by open mind and narrow mind? So to be narrow minded by definition, how would you state it? And to be open minded,
I asked you, Cy. I basically asked you if you wanted me to answer you, how can I account for this? How can I account for that? I'm going to ask you a simple question. Now, if you can't answer the simple question, then the discussion is over. So the question is basically, are you open minded to consider the possibility that you can be wrong? That's not saying, or do you admit you're wrong? It's saying, do you consider the possibility you can be wrong? If your answer is, no, I'm not even going to consider that for 1 second, then the discussion's over. Then you're basically no different than a child who thinks, I believe murder is right and nothing's going to convince me. Well, you're not going to waste a minute talking to a person who already decided that he's not going to have an open mind to consider he could be wrong.
Okay, so you're saying that to have epistemic certainty is to be narrow-minded.
I'm sorry, what?
To have epistemic certainty, that's to be narrow-minded by your definition.
I don't know what that means. What's epistemic?
It means it's study of epistemology, the theory of knowledge. And there's certain things we would argue we can know with epistemic certainty, hence the word certainty, like 2 plus 2 equaling 4. I would say, yeah, it's impossible for that to be incorrect. It's impossible for the laws of logic to fail. So
there, that is narrow-minded in the sense of having a debate, yes.
So that's narrow-minded.
No
okay.
matter how far you are on something, if you say okay. that nothing is going to convince you, there's nothing to discuss here.
Right.
Right. Okay. So, Sai, I'm going to let you jump in here for a second, but I think it might be helpful to explain to Josh that what he's actually asking us to do as Christians mm-hmm. is to denounce our belief in Jesus and the Bible.
I have something to say to that.
In order to have a discussion with him, because the Bible says that Jesus is the truth and the way and the life. And so if he's the truth, then and the Word of God is the truth because it comes from him, then for us to say, well, there could be another truth or okay. we could be wrong,
I'm sorry
would
to
be,
interrupt, but I'll,
would be
I,
for
I know,
us,
I don't
would
need,
be, would, hold sorry, on a second, I, would be okay. for us to deny Jesus' own words. So what you're asking Sai to do or what you were asking Sai to do is to actually denounce his belief system in order to have a discussion with you. And because we can't do that as Christians, we're not in a position where we can say, well, we believe we have the truth, but we might be wrong. Because if we're wrong, then there we'd have to give an explanation of can we really know anything for sure? Mm-hmm. And that's what Jonathan was hinting at. So go ahead, and I know you wanted to say something.
Yes.
You can go first.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank Josh for showing up because he agreed to debate one of us, and now it's kind of three against one. It's like the like being thrown to the lions. I can sense the irony there, but yeah. It's good of him to show up, and I want him to know that he's in an environment of love and that we're not out here to get his throat. So
I understand.
You know, mm-hmm. we're here to hear him speak. But what Gene is saying is quite true, is that for us, reason, the foundation of our reason is God. And if we say that we can give up that reason, then we give up our belief at the outset. Before the argument even starts, we've lost. Mm-hmm. So we cannot give up. We cannot say that there's a chance that we're wrong because the very foundation of our reason presupposes that God exists. So what we have to do in order to have any kind of discussion is to examine our respective presuppositions, ours that God exists and the Bible is true, his that God does not exist and the Bible is not true, and to see which one of those presuppositions gives us logic and reason.
You done? Well, I've heard that before from you, and I think that's really, I mean, I don't know how better to say it other than starting up on the wrong foot. I mean, I don't agree with this type of premise because, I mean, from that kind of premise, I think I could just as well set up the rules in a way which you either would not agree with, or once you agree with, you cannot win the argument. So what I'm saying here is, first of all, I don't agree that accepting the possibility you can be wrong is denouncing your faith. I think it is simply being open-minded. Like you say, I can be open-minded that 2 plus 2 is not equal to 4. Show me. If you can show me something that'll convince me that 2 plus 2 is equal to something other than 4, we can talk.
Be open-minded.
But if I'm not even willing to say that I'm willing to see what you have to say, then the discussion is over. Do we agree?
Josh, could you be open to the concept that the laws of logic could be wrong?
Yes.
How would you be shown that without logic?
I don't know, but I am at least willing to say that I can be open to it. But, I mean,
okay.
Well, maybe you could propose a more specific question and we can talk about it. But I'm at least willing to say that I'm open to that.
The law of non-contradiction. Are you open to the possibility that it could be wrong?
Am I open to the possibility it could be wrong? Well,
that's correct.
That's kind of a circular or rhetorical question. But what you're asking is basically, if I don't have the laws of logic, can we have a discussion? That's like saying, am I willing to accept the possibility that you can ask a question in a different language and I can't understand? Well, if we don't speak on the same level, if you and I can't agree on the same premise, if we don't use the same type of logic, then we don't have a discussion. So basically what you're saying is, if I have to accept the laws of logic before we have the discussion, I agree.
Right.
Now, if you and I don't agree on the laws of logic, that doesn't mean that I have logic or I am right. It just means you and I can't have a discussion. Do we agree?
But my question is, could the law of non-contradiction be wrong?
Yes.
And you're open to that?
Yes.
How would that be demonstrated?
I don't know, because it's been proven to work every single time. So to have an extraordinary claim, you need extraordinary evidence.
Because logic is not proven to be working in every single time. Because, I mean, we have very limited observations. You know,
we don't. Why don't you just show me an example of where logic is proven wrong or proven to not work?
That's not the point. I'm asking you if it's possible.
That is the point. If you can't show me how logic can be wrong, then what is wrong with me assuming that logic has never been proven wrong? Therefore, there's no reason to accept logic can be proven wrong, but I'm still open to it. So what I'm saying here is I'm not only open, I'm asking you if you can tell me what you know, and you can't even answer that.
Okay, I was going to ask you a follow-up question. What do you know with certainty, then? What are you, if you will, close?
Nothing. I mean, yeah. If you listen to what Josh has said so far, right. Really, if he's going to be honest, he has to say that he can know nothing for sure.
And how
I will answer that question.
Yes, go ahead.
I trust my senses. And if I don't trust my senses, then you are right. Then I don't know anything for sure. I know anything only as sure as, one, my senses can tell me. Two, my brain can interpret it.
Okay.
Other than that,
do you know what a mirage is?
Huh?
Josh, do you know what a mirage is? It's
yes.
Where your senses seem to communicate something to your brain that's not actually
yes.
real.
Uh-huh.
So are your senses 100% reliable?
For 99.99% of the time, yes.
Okay.
But so, I'd like to ask Josh how he knows that. How do
I know
that even 1% reliable?
I'll answer you. I know that I can trust my senses because it's helped me survive. Now, maybe I'm dead and I don't know, and maybe I'm inside the Matrix and I don't know. I'm open to that. But at least I'm willing to say that I can trust my senses, I can trust my experiences, and it's helped me survive, and it's worked for me by trusting my senses and my brain 100% of the time. Is that a bad assumption?
Yes. You use your senses in order to tell you that your senses are reliable.
You have something better? I'm listening.
No, that's my question to you. How do you know that you're
I don't have something
reliable?
Better, so tell me something better and I'll listen.
Okay, here's something better. Here's something better. Your creator, the one who made you, has revealed himself,
which I've never seen.
So you only believe in things that you've seen?
No, not necessarily, but what you're saying is...
Okay, so not necessarily. So you do believe in things that you don't see. You already acknowledge that you believe the laws of logic are dependable, but you've never seen the laws of logic. So you believe in all kinds of things that you don't see.
I'll answer that.
Go ahead.
The laws of logic are not dependable in the sense... I mean, using these words really get misleading. The laws of logic are not dependable in the sense that they are God. Okay? Laws of logic are not God. They are only as dependable for the purpose of discussion. Now, to a retarded person, laws of logic mean nothing because their brain cannot interpret it.
That's why they're retarded. That's why we call them retarded.
Okay, that's my point. Now, is it possible that we are retarded in a way that we don't understand certain things in the universe? Well, but let me get to my point. That, sure, the laws of logic exist. Sure, maybe God exists. But the point is, where were we?
You asked for a better explanation of how we can know things with certainty and how we can know that what we experience is reliable. Mm-hmm. And I told you that something better, actually the ultimate way of knowing these things, is because we have a God who created us, who has revealed himself. Who has revealed himself to us in his word.
And what good is his
Josh,
revelation without your senses?
At that point, his revelation is good whether I sense it or not. In other words, his revelation is true whether or not Josh, by his senses, accepts it or...
Well, how do you know it's true if you don't use your senses?
Let me ask Josh this question.
Yeah.
Josh, is it possible for God to reveal some things to us either through our senses or apart from our senses so that we can know them for certain?
Is it possible that we can know them for certain on what
standard? Is it
possible
that God could reveal some things to us either via our senses or apart from our senses such that we can know them for certain? Is that possible?
Certain by your standards? Probably not. But is it
possible
that God did something?
For an omniscient, all-powerful being to reveal some things to his creation such that we can know them for certain? Why would that not?
That's very conditional, Sai. That's saying, first I acknowledge that an omniscient being exists, then I assume that
that's
he
right.
is.
I'm asking you if it's possible,
that's
being exists.
Hold on. That's a series of assumptions. So that's a loaded question. So I'm going to answer a simple yes or no to that. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to.
Well, that's my world.
Yes or no
my
to that.
My worldview says that there is an omniscient being who has revealed some things to us via our senses and some apart from our senses, such that we can know them for certain. That's not a hypothetical.
Let's talk
my worldview. I'm asking you if that's a possible avenue to certainty.
Is that possible? Yeah.
Okay, that's right. So we have a possible avenue to certainty, and you do not. So when we claim something as certain, you have
no basis to argue
against us.
Josh, you don't sound very open-minded right now.
Because you're not... Well, okay, I'm sorry. Maybe I've been a little quick to interrupt, but I'm going to say that what he said is basically straw man. He's saying we have an avenue where you don't.
Well, okay,
then my question is, what is your avenue of knowing that you are certain? And I know your answer is going to be because this omnipotent being revealed it to us. Therefore,
right.
So I mean, the question still is back to that circular question: how do you know without trusting your senses? You do ultimately. Whether or not God exists, have to trust your senses.
Yeah, you use your senses, but we have an all-good God who's made our senses reliable, according to Scripture. And also, we have to have a certain cognitive conceptual scheme before we even approach
We're not opposed. Maybe we need to clear something up here. We're not opposed to using your senses.
Right.
But we're saying...
Okay, good. So if you're are you saying that my senses are reliable?
Yes, in the man, yes.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Okay, then I think we wrap this up.
No, the difference being, Josh, is that we have a reason to trust the reliability
right.
of our senses.
You can account for it.
Whereas you have no reason to trust the reliability of your senses, except for the hope
you admitted that my senses are reliable.
Why should I have
my interpretation of what is?
Because the Bible says that you're made in the image of God. That's how we can say, even though we haven't met you before. We know that you're talking to us, that you're a human being. The Bible says you're made in the image of God. God has made us in a certain way. He's wired our brains in a certain way to function a certain way, whereby we can have this conversation. So what we're saying is God is the foundation for reason, for facts, for knowledge. And we're saying, on your position, you're on a slippery slope.
No, I'm not.
You're not? Well, God
okay, you according to what you've said so far, Josh... You have no way of really knowing anything for certain. No, listen, I'm deducing from what you've told us. You said that Josh. You said that your senses are not reliable 100% of the time. You said you know things senses.
I'll clarify that.
Okay. You said you know things by your senses, and then you turned around and said your senses are not reliable 100% of the time. Then Cy asked you, is it possible that an all-powerful God could reveal something to his creation that would work apart from their senses? In other words, as Christians, we believe that God reveals things that we interpret with our senses, and he also reveals things to us that are not experienced by our senses. For example, the possession of the Holy Spirit, the inward dwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's not something that I believe we can experience with our senses. So we believe that God reveals things in both ways.
You believe a lot. You believe a lot of things that you can't even sense to yourself. But that's fine. Let me answer to your accusations that I once said my senses aren't 100% reliable, and then you jumped on that. That's really dishonest, Gene. You don't.
Is 99.9% less than 100%?
Yes, but let me talk.
Okay, then I'm not dishonest.
Are you going to let me talk or what?
Well, I'm not going to allow you to accuse me of dishonesty. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and explain to us how they're...
It's misleading if you take somebody...
That's a better way of putting it.
99.99% is less than 100. Therefore, you blow up that 0.01% and say that, therefore, this is very significant.
Did you ever see the movie Dumb and Dumber? With Jim Carrey? There's a scene in the movie where Jim Carrey is trying to date this woman. She's talking to him through the hotel door. And he says, is there a chance that you would go out with me? And she says, And he says, is there a 1 in a million chance that you'd go out with me? And she says, yes. And he says, there's a chance. Okay?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what you do.
Okay.
That's exactly what you did.
That's what you did.
Are reliable so many times that it is sufficient for a reasonable person for practical purposes to say that my senses are reliable.
Josh,
that's not mathematically.
Let me
talk. You guys have spoken.
Go ahead.
that mathematically, yes, I agree that I don't know everything. My senses are not 100% reliable.
The Josh,
not, hold on, let me talk.
Okay, but you just said that you don't know everything, and then you said that
can
your
you
senses...
Let me, can you let me finish?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just the fact that I say that I don't know everything does not give warrant you to jump on it and say, therefore, if you don't know something, then God exists, goblins exist, leprechauns exist, Santa Claus exists. Hold on a second. Just because I don't know something, that is my kindness. Don't take that as my weakness to say that, therefore, it's okay for us to believe in a goblin and a tooth fairy just because you don't know everything.
Okay, Josh.
Let me ask you this, Josh. Do you know anything?
That's what I was going to ask.
That's exactly what I was going to ask, too. He just said that he knew. He just said that he knew that he doesn't know everything for sure.
Right. Well, that's one thing, but I just want to know.
I didn't say that either. Don't. I mean, you're.
You just said I don't know everything. I don't know everything, and then, but you do know some things, and one of the things that you do know is that you don't know everything. And I'd like to know what senses did you employ to come to the conclusion that you don't know everything.
The same ones that everybody that you would have a conversation with uses.
Was it your smell? Was it your touch? Was it your hearing?
Now, if you don't want to trust my senses, that's fine. Then. That's like talking to a retarded person. You don't waste time talking to somebody that you don't agree their brain works. So either you agree with my brain works and you're going to talk to me, or you're going to dismiss that my brain works and say that, Josh, everything you say is like a retarded person. I'm not going to waste a minute listening to it. So which one is it going to be?
Well, I'm going to say that your brain works, but it doesn't work consistently. Okay,
how,
and that's what
so?
We're trying,
let's,
we're trying
let's
to
talk about where my brain is inconsistent.
We're trying to help you. Okay, so you we asked you, is there anything you know for sure?
Well,
and you say,
already got to it. Gene, you already got to a point where you nailed me on my brain is not inconsistent, so you don't need to review what we said. We already heard
okay,
that.
Okay, but I'm
going to
demonstrate. I'm going to demonstrate. You asked me how so. I'm going to demonstrate how your brain works, but it just works inconsistently.
Okay. Because
we asked you, how do you know things? And you said, well, I know things based on my senses. Mm-hmm. And then we asked you, are your senses reliable 100% of the time? And you said, almost, but not 100% of the time. So then you said... We asked you, do you know anything for sure?
Okay, hold on.
No. I'm explaining this to you. This is what you, I'm not misrepresenting you. We asked
you,
do you know,
you don't let me talk here.
You asked me a question, I'm answering it, you stop me in the middle of my answer.
Because I know what you're going to say.
You know that for sure?
I'll show you.
Okay, so we found another thing that he knows for sure.
You want to go... Yeah. If you go ahead, then I'll pretty much assume that you're going to strawman me, and if you let me talk, then I'll let you finish.
Yeah.
How about that?
By the way, just again, this is not personal, okay?
Yeah.
This is your show, and you got three people, and I don't even get to talk my part.
Okay,
I don't think that's
wait a minute.
Fair.
We're going to let you talk your part. In fact, okay. We can even go longer than an hour if you want to. But here's the thing. I invited you to be on my show. You've never listened to my show. I have a co-host on the show every week. So we were here to begin with. Then you also wanted Cy to be on the show. So the fact that we have three Christians here is not like we've stacked the deck against you. It's what you actually agreed to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you asked me a question.
Okay.
How is my brain working inconsistently? And I began to review the facts to demonstrate to you that you're not being consistent.
Okay.
So one of the things that you said was that your senses, you know things by your senses,
mm-hmm.
but your senses aren't 100% reliable. They're 99.9. Okay. So then you said that you realize that you don't know everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just be curious, what senses did you use to come to the conclusion that you don't know everything? So you know things by your senses. You know that you don't know everything. But what senses did you do? Because we have the sense of touch, we have the sense of smell, we have the sense of sight, we have the sense of hearing.
Uh-huh.
So which of those senses did you use to come to the conclusion that you don't know everything?
It's a series of experiences and interpretation of experiences where you can reason that from learning from history that nobody has shown to know everything.
Okay, but which senses, Josh? You said that you know things by... Do you want to retract that statement now, that you know things by your senses?
No.
Let me ask Josh this question.
Okay, hold on. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Hold on, Gene. Well, maybe I should ask you. You asked me these questions, and I think I probably should have set my rules before I talk to is that I'm willing to answer every question just as long as you hold yourself to the same standards, okay? So
sure,
by you asking me that what senses do I use, then I'm gonna ask you the same question, and
I
know your answer is going to be, because I believe in God, therefore my brain works. Because you don't believe in God, therefore your brain is unreliable. Is that a
strong
answer?
I have another question for you, Josh.
No, that's pretty much my answer.
That's pretty much your answer,
yeah.
Then I guess.
Because God, therefore, because God.
Discussion.
Because God, therefore, Gene. That's my worldview.
So therefore, without God for Josh, therefore Josh's words are like a retard. Makes no sense.
No, I'm not calling Josh a retard.
Not literally, but you are, my words and my reasoning is less than of yours, therefore it is less reliable, therefore you don't consider it as...
It's inconsistent. And because it's inconsistent, and I demonstrated that it's inconsistent, I have a problem with it, because I try to think consistently.
Actually, I don't think you're thinking very consistently either.
Okay.
I have a question for Josh.
And I'll demonstrate that.
Okay, great.
Josh, I'd like to know if all knowledge is gained via the senses.
Is all knowledge gained via the sense?
Yeah.
The senses.
Not directly, but indirectly, you can say that because no senses make any sense unless it's gone through your brain.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, is all knowledge gained via the senses?
No. Not always directly.
Okay, how else can you know things if not by your senses?
Well, that's what I said. Not directly.
Well, explain it. I'd like to know. I mean, you get your chance to talk. I'd like to know how you can know things other than via your senses.
I didn't name you, but I know your name because you told me your name. So I heard your name. Now I wasn't born here in Second World War, but I know what happened by stories. Now whether I want to trust the stories is a different topic. But in a way, yes, knowledge is gained indirectly or directly through senses.
Okay, and
there's good knowledge, there's bad knowledge, there's false knowledge, but all knowledge in one way or shape is gained through sense, just like you can say all data is through a computer.
Now let me ask you this question. Which sense told you that all knowledge is gained via the senses?
If I answered the question, I'd be circular reasoning. If I answered an answer other than my senses myself, then I would be doing what you're doing. So that question really is not a question that I waste a minute on, because...
Right. But we say we should waste more than a minute on such a question, because this is the foundation of knowledge. So if you want to say
the
household
of knowledge.
If you want to say the household of knowledge.
Say that is the foundation of knowledge, what you're basically saying is that your senses are not enough. Is that right?
Well, we have innate ideas, right? We're born with innate ideas. Or do you believe, like in the Hume, the Scottish philosopher, that we're just a tabula rasa, a blank slate, that there are no innate ideas? The rationalists, the continental rationalists, said we have innate ideas. Do you agree to that?
I don't believe it's a false dichotomy. I believe it could be a combination of both.
Okay, fair enough.
And I think when Psy asks these questions, it's setting a person up for a very quick straw man or black and white. Like, now I got you. Now how do you answer this one? Well, if I asked you the same questions, you would either be engaging in circular reasoning, or you can't explain the answer that you
so
gave me.
Is all circular reasoning bad?
No.
So what's the problem in engaging in circular reasoning?
It's not it's not bad, but it can kill a discussion. It makes the it ends the discussion. It doesn't mean it's bad.
Well, some discussions need to be ended.
You want a discussion or not?
Some discussions need to be
ended right now.
Some discussions need to be ended. Like, for example, is there a God?
I agree.
And the answer is, well, yeah.
I agree. That
Let me
some
ask
discussions
question,
need
Josh.
To be ended. So my question here for you is, do you want a discussion or not?
Is it a valid argument, Josh, to say God exists because he exists?
I'm sorry, what?
Is it a valid argument to say God exists because he exists?
God exists what?
Because he exists. Is that a valid argument?
It's a valid argument for a person who doesn't want a better one, yeah.
Okay, so is it a valid argument to say I sense that my senses are valid?
For a person that doesn't want a better one, yes.
So that is your argument, I sense that my senses are valid? You don't see a problem with that?
No, because I'll tell you why. Because every person I meet, every person I do business with, every person I talk to lives at least to that standard. And if they
but how do you know that? You
sorry,
trust
what?
Your senses before you even come to that decision. You trust your senses to know that other people are telling you these things. You trust your senses before you even come to the conclusion that your senses are valid. On what basis do you do that?
On what basis do I
trust
my
senses? Because in order to gather information, you just admitted that it comes via your senses. So
okay,
you have to trust your senses to know
simple,
that other people are
telling you. What a very simple question.
Pardon me?
How do I trust my senses, or how, or why can I trust my senses? The
on what basis do you trust them?
I'll answer you. If I don't assume that my senses are reliable, I'm not going to talk to you. So if you want to ask me how do I trust my senses are valid, that's like going out on the street and shooting somebody, and when the police come, you ask what gives you the authority to police me. Now, if you want to deny that the police have authority, you want to deny that the law exists, go ahead and don't waste time arguing that. Now, if you want to say that my senses are not reliable or I shouldn't trust
them, I'm not
them,
saying that. I'm asking you on what basis you trust them.
It's assumed. It's a
place of
tautological or circular.
So
I
we assume
that,
that
is
God
a circular,
exists.
That is a circular assumption in order to have any discussion.
Right.
We assume God exists.
You can assume that all you want, and I'm not saying that.
And is it valid?
Is it valid? Not to me, but if you want to believe that, I'm not going to argue with you. It's
so,
like saying, well, basically, I think Gene and Cy, I think you guys pretty much sealed it up from the beginning that basically all you're saying is this discussion isn't going anywhere because you will not be open to the idea that you can be wrong. So the discussion is over already. It's like somebody who says, I believe murder is right, and nothing is going to convince me. If somebody said that, you're not going to waste a minute arguing with them, and that's basically what you said about your faith, and I'm not going to argue with you one minute.
But don't we have trust in, let's say, for example, somebody says that murder is right, and there's an audience, and you have an opportunity to explain in front of an audience that murder is not right, it's in fact wrong. Don't we trust that the majority of human beings are going to be able to reason through the material, the arguments, and walk away with the right understanding or the right conclusions?
Yes, and that's pretty much the only reason I would do this, even though I already heard you seal it up. And my answer is, I mean, I think I repeated this already, is that atheists trust our senses. And if you're going to ask, why do you trust your senses, then really this question isn't going anywhere. Do you want to trust our senses or not? If you don't want to trust our senses, then don't.
Right.
So be my guest. But if you do, then let's talk about it.
But if we were to say something like the Bible is the presupposition for epistemic proof, wouldn't that have to be involved in the discussion?
Not if I don't want to be involved in it.
Okay, so what if we said this? Hmm. We believe the Bible, it's our primary assumption, right? It's our presupposition that God exists. And if you don't believe that, then we can't have a conversation.
I agree. I agree.
That wouldn't be very loving of us as Christians, though, would it?
Yeah.
Well, I don't. Well, why do I care whether you're loving? You can do whatever you want.
Okay. Well, that moves us on to our next point. I think it's time to shift gears here.
Cool.
Why do you care if why does Josh care if we're loving? You mentioned in your email. Mm-hmm. Let me just pull it up here real quick. For some reason, I closed that browser window.
Yeah.
You mentioned in the email here at the bottom, human dignity. Atheists are very much for human dignity, hence the term humanism. It's theists who want to degrade human dignity by dignifying an imaginary God and bow down to an invisible hocus-pocus. That's not signifying human dignity. Oh, don't like this straw man? Well, I'm up for a live discussion if you are. Think for a minute. What else other than human dignity do we think about when talking about social contracts? My question is, what do you mean by social contracts?
A lot of things. I mean, customs, trust, not violating laws, not cussing at other people, smiling, shaking hands. I mean,
are these written
in law is in more or less a form of social contract.
Okay, are these social contracts recorded somewhere?
No, is it written in a book? Maybe. But do we follow it because it's written in a book? No.
So why do we follow it?
We follow it because that's the only way society gets along. If you don't want to get along with society, be my guest.
Be my guest?
Yeah.
That's a cavalier attitude, if you don't mind me saying.
Okay.
That's a cavalier attitude.
So if I don't want to get in along with society, am I a bad person?
Why do you care if people think you're a bad person if you don't want to get along with them?
No, I'm asking from your viewpoint. Am I?
Not always, no. Not
okay.
always. There are bad societies you don't want to
right?
get along with. There are good societies you do want to get along with.
Is it right for society to prosper?
Is it right for society to prosper?
Yes.
No, not always. I mean, these are very broad questions that you can't throw at me. I'm not going to give you a very straight...
Is human dignity answer. Right?
Is human dignity right? As long as I'm a human, I'll say yes.
Okay, how do you know this?
I know this because I'm a selfish asshole that thinks that I deserve dignity, and I want
somebody...
all my fellow human beings to deserve the same.
That's the best argument you've used online.
we thank you for your honesty, Josh.
Yeah.
If somebody else were to say that human dignity, that he doesn't care about it, who's right? You
I don't
or
care.
That person?
Okay, that's a good question, and I'm going to answer you. We only have about 15 minutes for my first promised hour, but I'll try to make it so that we can have a reasonable discussion here. But if somebody disagreed with me, how would we settle this? Well, you're gonna tell me that the Bible has an ultimate authority, therefore humans are not to argue. Now I respect that, even though I disagree. But throughout history, it doesn't matter who has the Bible, who believes in the right religion. It's who has the bigger fist and who has the more guns. It doesn't matter who's right. It matters who has the greater might. I know this sounds very sad, but throughout history, it's been proven that the might make the right.
So you're not telling me that human dignity is right. You're just telling me that you happen to value human dignity, but it's not right.
Objectively, universally,
I can't say that unless I knew everything in the universe, could I?
Right. So we need the one who knows everything in the universe to tell us so. That's what we're saying.
I can see that standard, even though I disagree, because anybody who isn't that omniscient being
right.
will say that, and we're always going to ask, well, how do you know that?
Right.
So you can say that, but I don't think we can settle that from our human senses and our human
right.
understanding.
So this goes back to our presuppositions that we presuppose.
That's your presupposition, and
right.
I would not ever agree to that presupposition.
Right,
that
I understand that, but we're saying it comports with reality that. The triune God of the universe becomes the foundation for accounting for all these things. We can account for morality. We can account for logic. We can account for the one and the many.
Well, hold on. You can account for it means nothing. It just means you have a way to justify it to yourself.
Yes.
That doesn't make it, that's
and
make
you
it
don't.
Right or
and
wrong.
And you don't.
So if you want something better, it seems to me that you would believe what we believe.
No.
You did ask for something better.
You
earlier.
Asked for something better. Okay, let's move on.
I don't need it. I don't want it. But the point
you don't
here
want
is
it.
That
that's honest. I appreciate that.
And the Bible says that you don't want it either. Did you know that?
I don't know it directly, yeah. But I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, the Bible says that no one seeks after God, in Romans chapter 3, verse 10. The last sentence here of your post, you put, "Don't be stupid enough to think that atheists believe humans are no different than animals." Mm-hmm. So it was my assumption, and maybe I'm wrong. See, I'm open to being wrong on certain things.
Thank you.
I'm just not open to being wrong on the existence of the triune God who's revealed himself in the person of Christ.
Okay, that's fine.
But going back to your comment here, so you personally believe that humans are different than animals? Because I assume that atheists believe that humans...
We are not entirely one way or the other. So maybe if you give me a more specific question...
Okay, are human beings... animals?
In many respects, yes.
In which respects are they not?
Yeah.
We are smarter than animals.
So, animal or non-animal is based on intelligence?
In human terms, yes, absolutely.
So what about the retard, if you offend?
Yeah.
Retards are no better than animals.
They're,
whoa.
So, a human being, a little boy that has Down syndrome is no better than... a dog.
Let's talk about this. I can ask a dog to fetch a newspaper for me. Can I ask this retarded kid to do that for me?
You can. I'm not sure if he'll understand what you're saying.
Well, if he can't do it for me, can I say that a dog is more useful for me than this retarded kid?
Okay, but the question wasn't which person is more useful or which being is more useful. The question is there a distinction between human beings and animals? You say there is, and that distinction is based on intelligence.
Intelligence and usefulness from the question I just posed, that there are very good respects where you can say yes and very good respects where you can say no.
Let me ask you this, Josh. Does human dignity come from intelligence? The level of intelligence, is that how much dignity we should afford that animal, depending on how much intelligence?
You mean, should we reward people or things based on intelligence?
We're talking about human dignity, and you're talking about a differentiation in intelligence. I'm just asking, does our proportion of dignity allotted to us, is that respective of our intelligence?
Is it or should it?
Oh, is it? Or should it be? Well, whatever. I mean, you're telling us...
See, that's a very different question. That's a very different question to ask, is it or should it be?
Okay, but should it be? Should it be? Yeah.
Should our human dignity be proportional to our intelligence?
Yes.
I don't see why not.
Okay, so, for instance, a cow who might be more intelligent than a retarded person, I mean, we grind them up and put them on our store shelves. Should we do that with people who are intellectually challenged as well?
Would it be wrong just to kill them? I mean, should we kill retarded kids?
Should we kill animals? Should we kill ants? I mean, you ask these questions to make me say something like, yeah, we should kill.
Well,
no.
See, once again, the Christian says, yeah, we can kill ants. Yes, we can kill animals. No, we can't kill the 5-year-old retarded boy.
Because he's made in the image
of God. But I want to know what Josh says.
You don't spend every minute of your life killing ants just because it's okay.
So sometimes it's okay.
It's always okay to kill ants for me.
Sometimes to kill humans who are not meeting that bar of intelligence. I don't know where you draw the line, where the drop-off mark is, but...
Well, just because I can't draw the line doesn't mean there's not a line.
Right, okay, that's fair enough. I'm saying, but you're saying in some circumstances, because a human intellectually doesn't have the capacity to reason, therefore...
I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. If I answer you with an example, are you gonna let me go on this question?
No.
No, okay, then I'm not going to waste time to answer the question.
And let me tell you why I'm not going to let you go. Are you a white supremacist?
No.
Okay. Do you realize that the theory that you're setting forth is no different than the theory of the Third Reich, that they said, we will determine...
Yes, I understand that, and I'm not going to take the guilt by association. I don't believe that racism and hatred and violence is always wrong.
You don't believe it's always wrong?
I don't believe it's always wrong. I don't believe it's always right.
So sometimes racism can be justified.
Yes.
Wow. Sometimes...
Wow, you're like, wow, I don't know what to say to that.
Yeah, I don't know what to say to that because you just got done telling us you believe in human dignity.
I do.
I know what to say to that. I say to that, thanks for the admission, Josh, because you're showing us what your worldview amounts to, and I appreciate
that honest admission.
And I say thanks to Jesus for...
I don't represent atheists.
Amen.
And so I don't think it's very fair for you to take my worldview and say that all atheists will do that. I think that's
not common.
But actually, Josh, most atheists wouldn't. We interview atheists all the time, and they would cringe at the thought of talking about sometimes it's morally okay to kill a 5-year-old retarded boy. Sometimes it's morally okay to be racist.
So did I pass your consistency test?
No. No.
No?
Because, no, you might have passed it and proven yourself to be somebody who is open to racism and open to murder, but... If we circle around here and we talk about social contracts and what human dignity is, then once again you're inconsistent. Because you can't say, on the one hand, don't be stupid enough to think that atheists believe that humans are no different than animals, and then turn around and say that a cow is more useful than a 5-year-old retarded boy.
Did you answer me that humans are better than animals?
Did you answer me that humans are better than animals?
Yeah.
I thought that's what you meant by your post. Because that's what the Christians believe. Christians believe that human beings are made in the image of God and set apart from the animal kingdom.
So you believe that animals are not made in the image of God?
That's right.
That's right. The Bible is very
That's
clear.
Why we call them animals. Yeah. And that's why we refer to the animal kingdom.
You have no problem killing any animal any day for any reason?
Well, not for any reason, but the Bible says take dominion over the animal kingdom. Yeah. And after the Noahic covenant in Genesis 9, it gives us the right to eat meat and to kill animals
For the purpose of food.
Yeah.
So yeah, we don't have I'm not opposed to killing animals that...
I look forward to going in and out.
Yeah, and I'm not opposed to killing certain people. That doesn't mean I think it's okay either.
Well, why wouldn't you be opposed to it if it's not okay?
Well, because it doesn't do me any good to do it.
But if it did?
If it did?
Then you would.
You're saying that you wouldn't if it did you some good?
No. I could kill
Hold on.
Okay.
I'll think of a scenario and let's see how our answers differ. Okay?
Go ahead, Josh. Go ahead.
If how many family members do you have? Let's say you have five family members, one wife and three kids. You tell me that five guns are on each person's head and all you have to do is kill a person to save your life and five of your family members, you wouldn't do it.
That's called self-defense, Josh, and the Bible makes provision for that. So,
and that's what I would do.
Try again.
And I consider that a circumstance where I would kill somebody.
I find it hard to believe that a five-year-old retarded person is going to be holding up your whole family.
That's not the point. The point is
I don't have
a problem killing a person. I don't have a problem killing a healthy person to save my... I don't have a problem killing a healthy and innocent person if it's to save my family's life.
Let me ask you this question, Josh. I know you're a big Ron Paul supporter, right?
Oh, me too. Me too. Yeah,
I like Ron Paul.
Hey, you guys have something in common.
There we go.
Let's say he became very popular, and the Democrats didn't like that, and they decide to kill all Ron Paul supporters because it was good for them.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That'd be right?
I'd be safe.
Yeah. So I think we're about to wrap it up, but I think we should get back a little to the first question I posed to Gene, and I think Bai and Jonathan, you can all answer this one.
Mm-hmm.
As a Christian, if you believe that your morality comes from the Bible, do you follow it unconditionally?
What do you mean by that? Because I was unclear on what you meant by that question.
Okay, good. You, this is not a simple question that you could just answer like that, so it's not a very fair question if I didn't clarify now, would it be?
No,
so I'll clarify it for you.
Okay.
Would you never lie just because the Bible says thou shalt not lie?
Yes, I would never lie just because the Bible says thou shalt not lie.
Never.
I mean, it would...
I would never lie. I would say that it's always wrong to lie.
Yeah, that's what I was going to clarify and say it's always wrong. That doesn't mean that Gene...
It's always wrong. It doesn't mean you wouldn't always do it, right?
Right, because the Bible says we're sinners.
Yeah, that's right.
Good. Therefore, there's no difference here whether an atheist knows whether it's right or wrong, as long as he does it at the same time for the right purposes as you do, is there?
There's no such thing as a right purpose if you have an arbitrary standard. What is the right purpose?
When is it right to... I mean, I can think of very good scenarios.
That's an arbitrary standard if it's your own scenario. Either it's right or it's not right. If it's only right to Josh, who cares?
Well, I don't care if you care, but let me let's just get.
Well, I don't care if you care if I care.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to word your question like that, there's no discussion. But we want a discussion, so let's talk about where we can pose a question and have an answer.
I see how this argument, this discussion goes. As soon as we back you into a corner, you say, "Well, if I have to answer that, there's no discussion."
That's about the third time you've done that, Josh.
It is, but I mean that's the way you guys talk. But I'll. Let me
see. I don't know if we're going to go over the hour or not, but one of the things about Ron Paul is that he has very libertarian leaning. Mm-hmm. Libertarians are for less government, and they have an emphasis on the free will of man. Are you interested at all in the free will of man?
I'm absolutely.
Now, could you tell me how you get free will from evolution?
What's your idea of free will? I don't think you understand evolution if you're going to ask me this stupid question.
Oh, your ability to make choices. How do you get that? Is it dependent on your biology, or do you actually get to think and reason and make choices? And I'm wondering, if that's the case, how you get that from evolution?
Well, you clearly don't know what free will is.
Well, explain it to me, then.
Free will is the ability to do as you choose, and all free will is the lack of either somebody knowing that you're going to do something, or the lack of the ability to predict that you're going to do something, or the lack of... Well, not or, and. All these have to pretty much exist to qualify for something, for what we call free will. In order to hold a person accountable for his actions, you have to assume that he made a choice. Now, a fatalist would be the person that doesn't believe that. So it, either you do believe it or you don't believe it, or you believe something in between. Now, do you believe that evolution can give you free will? Well, the question should be, the free will is anything that is not controlled, not fatalist, not determined.
Actually,
so
there's a third,
unless
there's
you
can a third
show
option.
Me that evolution determines or fatalizes us, why wouldn't we have free will? Free will isn't something that has to come out. Free will is something that just happens.
Right, so how is it free?
How, what?
I'm saying, like, maybe I misunderstand you, and feel free to clarify here, but...
Okay.
If the theory of evolution is in your worldview, as it appears to be, when, yes, I want to be as fair as possible to the theory, but whereby everything evolves over time, and it's always based upon some antecedent stimuli or some antecedent
cause,
then how do you avoid determinism? Hard determinism. I mean, it's...
How do you avoid determinism?
Yes, because it's just based upon another cause.
In many ways, you can. In many ways, you cannot. Humans.
Right.
No matter how free you are, you can't defy gravity.
Right.
Yeah. So do we
you're
have
not
free
an
will
alien
because
by choice.
You can't
you're
defy gravity
because of the physiology in your brain? Is that what you're telling us?
That's the point. You don't have a very proper understanding of what is free will or what are things capable of.
Are you an atheist by choice, Josh?
Am I an atheist by choice?
Yes.
As far as I know, yes. Maybe I'm wrong.
How do you get choice from evolution?
Choice is lack of forcing you to make a choice.
How do you get that from evolution?
How do I get that from anything?
Now what is choice?
Choice is, I just told you, the lack of somebody or something forcing me to make the decision.
Yeah. Well,
isn't your own physiology forcing you to make the decision?
In some ways, yes. In some ways, no. It's forcing me in the. I mean, this is. It's not as black and white as that. When you ask me, I mean. And
well, we would. I think we've got another discussion in here, Si.
I think so too. It's sounding that way.
Yeah, I mean, when you're asking, do you have free will? I tell you, yeah, and then you ask me, well, how do you get it? Well, you don't get free will so much as free will simply exists when you can't predict or fatalize what's going to happen.
But you see how all of your arguments go? It simply exists. You wouldn't put up with that from us. God simply exists. That's it.
Yeah, I would. I just ignore you.
You didn't ignore us, Josh. You posted a comment. You said that you were up for a lively discussion, and now you've come on our show. We're running out of time here. We've only got a couple minutes left. But let me just back up for a second. You seem kind of uptight, Josh. Are you angry or are you frustrated? You just seem kind of like irritable or something.
sorry if I did get a little uptight, but for the most part, no. But I do honestly get uptight and upset if I feel like I've been either misrepresented or strawmanned. And when I try to make a point, I get it. For example, when you ask me that is there a one in a million chance, and then you take that and elaborate that into, because there's a one in a million chance, therefore this one in a million chance is significant, I think that is a dishonest misrepresentation that is unfair to me and to other people when you have a discussion.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, you have to keep in mind, too, that one in a million scenario, I mean, you don't even know that your senses are reliable for 1% because you use your senses to determine that. So it's a hopeless circular argument.
But like I should have said in the beginning of the discussion is that when you guys ask me these questions, a lot of it is based on do you agree with these premises. If not, then we don't need to.
So if we agree with atheism, then you'll talk to us. Is that how it works?
No, you don't need to agree with atheism. You only need to agree with the possibility
with your premise that your senses tell you that your senses are reliable. I'm sorry, I can't agree with that. That's hopelessly circular.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're about out of time. I want to appreciate. excuse me.
Loud coughs.
Hey, Gene. Before we go, I got to give a shout out to my cousin Ian Van Manen. He might be listening tonight for the first time or via the podcast. And I said I'd mention his name.
All right. You owe me for that one, Si.
Okay.
I just want to ask Josh on a personal level. Josh, do you understand if we believe what we've been talking to you about tonight, we're Christians, okay? All the three of us are Christians.
Yeah, I don't doubt that you're Christian.
Right. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. We believe that God exists. We believe that Jesus died for our sins. Mm-hmm. And so we're compelled because we have a biblical view of human dignity, and we believe that you're made in the image of God. We're compelled to talk to people, even when they're disagreeable, even when they don't acknowledge that we have a worldview that's consistent. We're compelled to talk to them because we love them. We love you in the sense that you're made in the image of God. And our hope is...
About the same, I can honestly say just about the same thing, other than, I mean, without the reason of why I believe it, I think I live my life more or less like a Christian you would like, that treats people like I would want to be treated.
Yeah, that's fine, but there's only one problem.
Okay.
If
I'm not saved, so I'm going to hell.
Well, if you're not glorifying God with your life, God created us to bring Him glory. And so apart from Him, it's impossible to bring Him glory. So you can be as virtuous as the most virtuous Christian on the face of the earth. But if you don't ascribe that virtue to the one who made you, you're actually taking that upon yourself. Just like you just said, I'm a nice person. I do a lot of the same things Christians do.
So maybe I should ask you, and I don't mean to interrupt, I'm sorry.
No, I'm done.
Okay. Do you believe that it is, I'm taking it on myself, and I think that is what I hope to convey to theists, is that atheists, we don't find a good excuse or a good reason to be good, such as because God said so, because the Bible says so, because we're threatened to go to hell, because we want to be saved, because this or that. We take it off upon ourselves because we have feelings, we have compassion, and we want to be good. We take responsibility because we assume the worst, because we believe that when we die, nothing's going to happen. We only have this life, and so does everybody. And that's why we believe in human dignity. That's why we do good things, because we want people...
Josh, where are you getting this "we" from?
Huh?
Where are you getting this "we" from? You're just telling us your moral...
From my understanding, this is how I and many atheists that I know think. I might be wrong, but I hope that I can convey this message in a way that you can... at least see that this is how certain atheists feel. Maybe a minority, maybe a majority, but I hope that you don't have a generalization of how atheists believe or think.
All right, we're out of time completely. Hey, Josh, I just want to thank you for taking time to come and talk to us. Three fundy Christians and who are very narrow-minded.
We're not exactly fundy, but it was fun.
Okay, I appreciate that. Okay, and maybe we can talk sometime in the future. But we're just glad that you came on. You explained what you meant by your comments, and we're thrilled that we were able to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care. All right, folks, that's it for this edition of The Narrow Mind. I want to ask all of our Christian listeners to pray for Josh.
Mm-hmm.
As he goes back, I'm certain that he will probably listen to this interview after it's been uploaded. Pray that God would reveal his person to Josh, mm-hmm. that Josh might become a worshiper of Jesus Christ, saved by grace, not by works. Mm-hmm. Until next time, may God richly bless the study of His Word.
The Narrow Mind with Pastor Gene Cook Jr. Love him or hate him, you're still listening to him.